Coming to you from the bottom of Lake Agassiz. Welcome to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. For those of you new to the program, I am a certified biologist with the North Dakota Game and Fish. When I say certified, I mean I'm not just someone interested in the outdoors. I have a degree from NDSU in wildlife and fisheries management, and I am a lifelong North Dakota native. I was born in Williston and grew up in Lemoore, graduated from high school in Valley City, college in Botno, and graduated from NDSU some 20 years ago, working on 20 years ago. And for the last 14 years, we've been connecting the outdoors, topics, news, conservation, and the people with the hunters, the anglers, and the citizens that are interested in the outdoors of North Dakota. So that's a little bit about me, a little bit about the program as we embark on 2014. Weekend number two of 2014 is where we find ourselves, really into the throes of winter. Regardless of what the air temperature is like, no matter what December was, extremely cold and extremely winter-like, when we get into the mid part of January, you start kind of anticipating the break. And mentally, my break is usually March 1st. So I look at the calendar. We got about six more weeks until I can really start to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Everybody has a specific part of the outdoors that they enjoy. Mine is open water fishing. I don't even have to think twice about that. Open water fishing is my absolute favorite. I probably should be more inclined into ice fishing. I spent a lot of time ice fishing. And as you go through the peaks and valleys and the interests in life, I find myself just gravitating and yearning more towards open water fishing. Not to say that I wish away winter. That's not the fact whatsoever. But as we go into the wintertime, I wanted to take a moment now. We get so bombarded in the end of December and the first part of January with the lists of 2013 and looking ahead to 2014 that it almost gets numbing. We've always connected with the director of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, Terry Steinwein, a couple weeks into January when it's not such a overload of past and future. And Terry, the director of the North Dakota Game and Fish, Terry Steinwein, our guest on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. When you look back at 2013, it's really typical in that it's very busy from day to day, and the issues can pop up for you and from Game and Fish and from the department, and can vary from day to day, week to week, and month to month, can't they?
What I love about this profession, it's a variable workload from day to day, and whatever you work on, it's frustrating but enjoyable at the same time.
Let me ask Terry, from your perspective and your view as director of North Dakota Game and Fish, what was A number one from 2013 that catches your eye?
I don't think it's not a new one. It's been real huge at times, and it hasn't been as big at other times. And that's habitat loss. Federal policy in the Farm Bill. We continue to lose CRP, very important grass. We're a grassland state. And a lot of our wildlife absolutely depend on those grasslands to produce and survive, to complete the life cycle. So habitat creation, habitat loss is one of the biggest things we worked on this year.
What else kind of jumps out at you?
Although we're almost a year removed, what really does stick out in my mind is a legislative session. And we tend to forget about that. That sets a policy and provides our budget for 2 years. We spent an awful lot of time on very few bills. We had like 35 bills in the legislature, but most of them were very important. And there was 4 months of 2013 that was consumed of about three, four, or five people within the department working on legislative issues. And I'd say, thanks to the legislators, thanks to the governor, we came out pretty well on the legislature. And that sets the stage for us for the next 2 years.
Terry Steinwein is the director of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, our guest on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. The Outdoor Heritage Fund from the legislative session, definitely something that we'll hear into the future.
Right. It's going to be a slow process. You're right. Up to $30 million is going to be available for the Outdoor Heritage Fund. That we're hoping that process moves us forward to address some of these issues.
Terry, one of the things that we try to stress to people is the peaks and valleys, the ebbs and flow of the outdoors. And rather than people focusing all of their attention on what's wrong or what's not so good, is people have to realize that our fishing in North Dakota right now is spectacular.
We are definitely in a wet cycle. And with wet cycles comes more lakes. We're managing approximately 450 lakes in the state right now, the highest ever. We're seeing record license sales for fishing. Fishing summer and winter so far has been absolutely tremendous. And it's something our fisheries division has predicted. They've worked hard at developing those fisheries and developing access to those fisheries. It's like everything else. A fishery is no different than a terrestrial population in terms of you have to have two things to have successful hunting or fishing. Number one, you have to have the resource. Number two, you have to have access to that resource. And fishing has always been easier because all waters of the state are public, so anybody, if they legally access them, can fish those waters. And it's been absolutely tremendous. I give kudos to the fisheries division. They've worked extremely hard with very few people on getting these things established and providing access to it. So that has been absolutely a bright point, and I see it staying there for a few years. National Weather Service evidently says we might take a little dip in 2014, but we're probably going to stay in a wet cycle till about 2020, 2022 somewhere.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Fishing is one of the very, very bright spots that we have in North Dakota right now. So it's almost amazing to think of 450 lakes. I know our people in Minnesota, 450 lakes. But you know my old saying, Minnesota, land of 10,000 lakes and 10 fish. Ooh, that hurts. I don't mean that literally. But in North Dakota, I don't think we have to play second fiddle to anyone for our fishing. You take a walleye out of the Red River, you take a walleye out of Sargent County, Richland County, Barnes County, and when you take that picture of the fish, if you don't get the background, you can't tell where that fish came from. My point is maybe, and I'm not going to give out names, maybe a walleye from Lemoore County doesn't have the aesthetic or the value, the sportsman value that's put on spending a week at Lake of the Woods or Mille Lacs, Sakakawea, or Devil's Lake for that matter, but it fries up and it tastes good just the same. Coming up next on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, there's more than just fishing to smile about in North Dakota. The director of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, Terry Steinwood, when we return on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. We're joined by Terry Steinwood. He's the director of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. We talked in the first segment about the loss of CRP and habitat in North Dakota as one of the struggles and the challenges, the hurdles of 2013, the legislative session, the Outdoor Heritage Fund, the good fishing, the excellent fisheries of North Dakota. But Terry, that's not the only thing that we can smile about in North Dakota. When we talk about the wet cycle, the waterfowl populations and the waterfowl hunting are another aspect of the outdoors that hunters and citizens of North Dakota can look on with pride. It's good times out there.
Well, exactly. Waterfowl production still is going on record, and in a large part due to the prairie provinces of Canada, North and South Dakota, eastern part of Minnesota, the prairie pothole region. That's actually normal. When you see wet cycles, the aquatic resource, you know, fish, waterfowl, anything that depends on water, is normally going to increase. You get to the dry cycle, which we absolutely do need in the plains, northern plains, that you need that dry cycle to get that productivity back up. It goes down, but and that's an ebb and flow that you were talking about. But yeah, waterfowl, just absolutely tremendous. I'd like to say I participated in it a lot this year, but unfortunately I just wasn't able to.
And realistically, when we look at some of these issues from 2013, they're going to be similar issues in 2014. They always have been. They probably always will be when you talk about habitat and looking ahead to the challenges of the future and in 2014.
It always is. Habitat is the key to everything. And habitat is kind of this generic, nebulous term out there. But it's what provides nesting habitat. It what protects fawning cover. It's a food source in some instances, particularly upland birds. It protects them during the cold weather that we've experienced so far in 2013 and, sure. and likely will into 2014. It's everything that allows an adequate number of animals or fish to move to complete the life cycle so we can produce more for the public to enjoy.
And is energy part of that?
Energy is part of it. The footprint of the energy industry isn't necessarily all that large. A lot of it's the traffic. A lot of it's just the change out in the western part of the state. We're still looking. There's undoubtedly an impact on wildlife. There's probably a larger impact on people at this point in time. But yeah, we're constantly looking at that. We're working with oil companies and two or three in particular, and continue to work with more. And how do we minimize or avoid those impacts?
He's Terry Steinwand, the director of your North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I'm Doug Lear. This is the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO, taking a look at some of the issues of 2013 and the future in 2014. And one area, Terry, that I think people need to realize is when we talk about habitat and the challenges is it's CRP on the big, broad scale and the change in land use. And on the small scale, even things such as the loss of shelter belts. I shouldn't say small scale. When you start multiplying the impacts up across the landscape and you combine those factors with a weather pattern that, as we mentioned, has been beneficial to ducks and geese and pike and perch, but the terrestrial wildlife, it's been a real huge struggle.
Yeah, we were keeping our fingers crossed going through deer season. We had a little bit of snow, but it wasn't extremely cold. And then after Thanksgiving, Mother Nature just said, yeah, you've had it a little too nice. I think I'm going to challenge you a little bit. So she provided a little bit of ice and then a little bit of snow and then a lot of cold weather. Got nice again, and it looks like we're back into the pattern. Those kind of things are extremely difficult on animals. They have that fat reserve that hopefully gets them through the winter, and of course they do need the food supply to get through too, but if they're having to burn up those fat reserves early, it makes for a long winter and unfortunately a bigger challenge for us.
No doubt one of the major topics at advisory board meetings, and I'm sure wherever you stop to fill gas and have a cup of coffee and the likes, Terry, is the future of deer and deer management in North Dakota is on the front of a lot of people's minds, including the Game and Fish Department, the Wildlife Division, and Randy Crowell.
Right now, Randy's people, we incorporated all the comments, we received all the potential angles that we could think of and the public gave us that how can we more fairly distribute or allocate the limited licenses, deer licenses that are available out there. His people are working on them right now. Number one, can we do them? Number two, what would be the impact? During the spring round of advisory board meetings, we're very likely going to give here's our preferred alternative based on what you've told us and gather more input and then make a final decision.
And no doubt about it, 2014 is going to be a fun year, an exciting year to see how things play out from your perspective, from mine, and from everybody else. We don't know how 2014 winter is going to wrap up, how summer is going to roll in and spring and fall, and we just anticipate what's to come.
It's always exciting. Everybody loves to watch wildlife. A lot of us love to hunt and fish. It's part of North Dakota's heritage, so I think it is very important.
Appreciate your time. Appreciate your insight and your accessibility. Terry Steinwood is the director of your North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Wanted to make sure I pass along just a couple of reminders when we talk about the wintertime and ice fishing that there's some regulations that are a little bit different. You can use four poles while you're ice fishing. You can. Two in the summer or two in open water if you find a spot with open water right now. Two in the through the water. Four poles through the ice. We don't have a restriction on the size of hole. If you do make a hole like for spear chucking, spear fishing, larger than 10 inches in diameter, you need to mark it with a natural object. Use a piece of cattail or a tumbleweed or a stick or something like that. We just don't want people finding out the wrong way that there is a spearfishing hole right there. You can't legally catch fish and transport them in water. Put them in some snow, pack them in the snow, and move them. That's the same regulation that it is during the summer. And don't dump your bait bucket. You don't dump your bait bucket in the summertime. You don't dump it in the wintertime. If you are traveling for a weekend and you're cleaning your fish and you're going to be transporting them, you need to make sure that two fillets count as one fish. Package them individually. No big, huge block of frozen fish together. You can't freeze them in one large block. Two fillets count as one fish. And your daily limit is a limit of fish taken from midnight to midnight. And you can't possess more than one day's limit while you're on the ice actively fishing. Okay? Stop and think about that. From midnight to midnight. So if you get out there at 3 o'clock in the morning and the fish are biting and you catch a limit of fish, you're done that day until midnight and the start of Sunday. And the same thing happens if you get out there at 9 o'clock at night and catch a limit of fish. You're done until midnight, and then you can start back over again at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's always easier to stop and ask the game warden questions now rather than waiting until you have two limits of ice or two limits of fish while you're out on the ice. That ain't gonna cut it. Coming up next on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, a Central Dakota Outdoors report from Pat Stockdale on the mighty 790 KFGO. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the mighty 790 KFGO. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, we'll get you all up to date with a Minnesota Outdoors report with CJ Johnson here in just a couple of seconds. We'll be connecting with Pat Stockdale, and she joins us each week with a look at the outdoors of North Dakota. It's our taste of outdoor recreation and activity as close to real time as you're going to get. Because anybody that ice fishes or open water angles or hunts ducks, pheasants maybe not as much, but my point is that reports are accurate and green until somebody says it, because it changes from second to second, hour to hour, and definitely day and week to week. The hot bite on the slough in McIntosh County can be dead by the time you hear it. So it does give you, though, a little better idea of where people are going and what is going on when we talk about the outdoors. So we'll be connecting with Pat Stockdale here in just a moment. And one of the fun things about the outdoors is talking about the outdoors. And I know that, as you all understand, that I love talking about the outdoors. And one of the places that you can do that is next Saturday with the Cass County Wildlife Club. Their annual banquet taking place out at the Red River Valley Fairgrounds. And the Cass County Wildlife Club, a great group of guys and gals. And this event is, it's like one big deer camp. Great food, great entertainment, raising funds for a great cause as well. So if you're interested, mark your calendar Saturday, January 18th. Usually open up the doors for the social part of things around 4, begin the hors d'oeuvres around 5, 6 o'clock in that frame with the auction and the festivities that follows. Cass County Wildlife Club banquet is Saturday, January 18th, and it's at the Red River Valley Fairgrounds. Other news and notes from around the North Dakota side of things, there's going to be 172 non-resident, any deer bow licenses available coming up this year. We already know that because non-resident, any deer bow licenses are essentially what non-residents use to hunt a mule deer with a bow in North Dakota. And the allocation is set at 15% of the previous year's mule deer gun license allocation. Last year, 1,150 antlered mule deer licenses were available in the 2013 gun lottery. 15% for the next year are then available for the non-resident any deer bull licenses. And there's a lottery held. The deadline to apply is March 1st. And I would assume that there's going to be more applications than there are licenses for these. So there is a deadline of March 1st. And then a lottery is held after March 1st. Not sure the exact date and time of when that lottery for sure is. But the March 1st deadline, I do know that. And if you missed it, there was another deer testing positive for chronic wasting disease in southwestern North Dakota. A adult whitetail buck taken in western Grant County. The head was submitted for testing in the Hunter Harvested Surveillance Program. We do the testing through Michigan State University to verify, and then it's taken to a national lab in Ames, Iowa. It's the fifth deer to test positive for COD since 2009, all from the same general vicinity, which is about as good a sign as you can ask for with CWD, that we don't have CWD cases popping up in Williston, Wahpeton, Crosby, Pembina, and Marmoth, and everywhere in between. Nonetheless, it's not what we like to hear either. CWD, if you're not familiar with it, it's chronic wasting disease, affects the nervous system of members of the deer family. It's always fatal. But there is no scientific evidence that CWD could be transmitted naturally to humans or to livestock. Let's bring in Pat Stockdale. You read her work in Dakota Country Magazine, Minnesota Outdoor News, and many other places across North Dakota. She joins us each week with a Central Dakota Outdoors report. Pat, what's cooking outdoors this week?
Welcome to the Central Dakota Outdoors Report, a look at fishing and outdoor activities throughout eastern North Dakota and the Missouri River system. Wow, it's been cold lately. That cold weather dampened many angler spirits, keeping folks inside their houses, and I don't mean their ice houses. However, the good news is that we continue gaining ice on many lakes, and access generally remains okay throughout much of North Dakota. There are always exceptions, though, so please be prepared when heading out ice fishing. But back to fishing and fishing success. Weather didn't completely shut down activity. The hardy ones going to Devil's Lake are working 35 to 45 feet for perch, and they're finding some success. However, the bite's a little inconsistent. Try the Towers, Doc Hagen's, Casino, south end of Black Tiger Bay, or the north end of 6 Mile Bay. Walleye success is good. Try the Towers or Creel Bay. Actually, just about anywhere throughout much of the lake, working 10 to 25 feet. Walford's Bay is good for pike. Try deeper water for perch in sloughs and lakes across Barnes, Lemoore, and throughout Sargent and Richland counties. Walleye are most active on flooded structure near drop-offs, points, and humps. Try jigging spoons tipped with minnow heads. Pike spearing is steady in Lemoore and McIntosh counties, but water clarity has been spotty on some lakes. Pike angling with dead sticks and tip-ups is producing success using a variety of bait, anything from smelt to deer chunks to, yes, hot dogs. Farther west, the Missouri River is quiet from the tail race on downriver, although a few anglers are trying their luck south on Lake Oahe. Even activity on Lake Audubon slowed because of the cold weather. Remember, please don't chase or harass wildlife with snowmobiles, and that includes coyotes.
Appreciate that report, Pat Stockdale, with your Central Dakota Outdoors Report. Hey, the Watchable Wildlife Checkoff is on your state income tax form. I know we don't enjoy putting together our state income tax form, but if you'd like to help out some of the watchable wildlife species and programs that Game and Fish has, look for that on your state tax form. Hit the checkoff box and you can be a part of the program. I need to take a moment and publicly acknowledge the birth of my son, Joe. His birthday was on Thursday. Grace's birthday on Friday. A big, big week for the Lear household. So happy birthday, Joe. Happy birthday, Grace. Love ya. And can't wait to spend more time outdoors with the family. Coming up next on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, a Minnesota Outdoors Report with CJ Johnson on the mighty 790 KFGO. And welcome back to the last hole to drill for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear, and we'll be checking in with CJ Johnson here in just a moment. But from the Minnesota side of the river to DNR, ready to do their winter aerial surveys for the Kitson County and Grigla, Minnesota elk herds. Now, if you recall, last winter, there were 28 elk near Grigla. That was down from 40 in the previous survey, which had been done in 2010. The Minnesota DNR goal is targeted at a pre-calving population of 33 to 38 elk. So they did not offer an elk season near Grigla last fall. The Kitson County herd last winter, an estimated 13 bulls and 15 cows or calves in that hunting zone near Lancaster. And the Lancaster population was 4 bulls, 9 cows, and 4 calves. There's a third herd. It's in the Caribou area of northeast Kitson County. And that number is around 100 elk. Personally, to me, as a biologist and a North Dakota native, I really am drawn to the niche populations, whether it's bighorn sheep in North Dakota or the remnant population of sturgeon and prairie chicken, some of those unique species. So when I hear about the elk numbers in Minnesota, I'm always curious. And I'm going to be curious this winter to find out how that population is doing in Minnesota. And we'll keep you up to date with the Minnesota Outdoors as we always do. Well, as the temperatures have finally started to warm up, the activity outdoors is bound to be on the rise. And when we talk about the outdoors of Minnesota, we welcome back to the program, he's a regular feature on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. He is a Lisbon, North Dakota native, and each week he gives us a little better idea of what's going on across the state of Minnesota. CJ Johnson, thanks for joining us. How's things looking outdoors this week, my friend?
Hey, great, Doug. By golly, the cold weather finally hit. The slush on a lot of the lakes in Minnesota actually froze up this time around. And I just thawed out the moisture off my goatee today. So everything's looking good. We can do some fishing now. And looking at Lake of the Woods, first of all, up there at the Tourism Bureau says excellent fishing right now. Gold and pink jigs seem to be the hottest colors to use, and especially if you tip the jig with a minnow head and work the bottom. Also, a jig or a plain hook under a bobber with a live minnow just off the bottom is picking up walleyes and northerns like crazy. Nathan over at Smoky Hills Outdoors in Park Rapids says most of the slush and water on top of the ice is frozen now. Fish houses are showing up in greater numbers on upper and lower bottle lakes and big sand and man trap lakes as well. Large pike, smaller walleyes being caught in the main bar on the west side of lower bottle in about 8 to 12 feet of water right now. And the peak walleye catching time seem to be from 3 to 6 p.m. and 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Again, sunset, sunrise. Tommy Newstrom at Winnebagoches up in Grand Rapids area says the grip of winter has been pretty tough on Big Winnie. But for the hardy souls, conditions are improving now, and main bars like Big Muskie, Snag Hole, and the break along the east side of Winnie near Moxie's has been the best for perch and an occasional walleye. Walleyes have turned off just a touch up there on Winnie. Chris Kudak over at his guide service on Mille Lacs reports large anglers are putting houses out on Liberty Beach. They're still using some four-wheelers and snowmobiles with some slush. It's still in spots, believe it or not, on Mille Lacs. But the recent cold weather is now freezing it pretty good. Walleyes and perch are being caught on the mud flats. Smaller area lakes to Mille Lacs are like Knife and Hand, Platte, Sullivan. They're producing some perch and a few walleyes, too. And the handfish bites pretty good on all of them. Leisure Outdoors, Jeff Anderson over there in the Brainerd area says, of all the lakes in that area, Gull has been the best with ice. They got 12 to 16 inches right now throughout the lake. Yep. But still, water and slush here in spots. You know, it takes a little while for the water and slush to freeze under some of that snow. They have ice just in some of those weak spots, just 4 to 8 inches, so watch yourself. walleyes are hitting fairly well. A gull, north long, round, down about 18 to 25 feet. Again, jig spoons tipped with a minnow head seem to work best. And our friend Becca Art over in Detroit Lake says not as many anglers right now due to the severe cold that whooped down through. Panfish bite stayed active during the cold snap, however. Little walleye bite is slowed as well, too, but it'll improve now that the weather is improving. Little Detroit, Sally, Melissa, Cormorant, Pelican, and Lighter Lakes, they've received the most angling so far. Some crappies relating to weeds and some schools are feeding on bugs on deeper mud flats, but they're down 22 to 35 feet right now on the lakes in the DL area. By the way, on Sunday from 8 to 2, there's a Team Extreme Fishing Tournament. You can compete if you want to with them. 8 crappies and 8 sunfish, best overall weight wins. Can't tell you what you win because I don't know right now. But, you know, Doug, I remember a nice fishing trip I took to my dad and Uncle Leo when I was about 9 years old, I think. Dad had just got a used pickup truck, and Leo didn't like it because it was a Chevy.
Oh.
So, and Uncle Leo talked kind of funny with his Norwegian accent, and it used to make me giggle. Well, you know, we drove from Lisbon to Lake Ashtabula that morning, and before we went out on the lake, Uncle Leo said he wanted to get in the pickup box and start rigging up the gear, so we stopped. And tailgate was a bit stuck, so Dad told him to crawl over the side. And Leo wouldn't. He said, nah, I got it. I don't want to do that. That's why you got a tailgate. So Dad shook it a bit, finally opened. Uncle Leo slid in the back. I got in the cab and started out on the lake with Dad. Dad told me to unlatch the door in case the pickup fell through the ice. We could push it and jump out easiest because you got to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
As we crossed it, we heard a loud pop. And I'll be darned if that pickup didn't start to sink. Dad and I jumped. We rolled a safety, looked back to see the pickup just going under with Uncle Leo in the back.
Oh, yeah.
We stood near the open water. We waited. Dad said it didn't look good.
No.
And it seemed like forever. And Dad said, well, looks like Uncle Leo was a goner. And just then, he popped to the top, and he was coughing and spewing water. And Dad and I grabbed him and pulled him up on the ice. And Dad said, boy, it's good to see you. I thought you weren't going to make it. And Uncle Leo looked at him, took a breath, and said, yay for Joe. You know, I had to have been up here a lot sooner, but that darn tail gets stuck again. Remember, the fishing's always great. It's the catching we got to work on.
Oh, great stuff. We appreciate it. Thanks so much, CJ. We love it, buddy. Take care, my friend.
You too.
And that is CJ Johnson with a look at the outdoors of Minnesota. That brings us to a close of this weekend edition of Outdoors Live. A big thank you goes out to Bob Harris. He podcasts this program at kfgo.com. We blog at kfgo.com as well, so you can get access to the outdoors and to myself. Shoot me an email. It's outdoorslive@gmail.com. A big thank you goes out to Bob Harris. He's the executive producer of the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. And until next time, I'm Doug Lear, reminding you, as always, keep your lines tight and your powder dry. Have a great one out there.